I'll ask you today to turn in your Bibles back to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to continue our study today. This morning I want to read to you verses 7 through 17. Some of this we've covered, but I want to take the paragraph so that we can move on. Hear the word of God. Ephesians 5, 7 says, "Therefore, do not be partakers with them," that is, with the sons of disobedience, "for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light," or fruit of the Spirit, "is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, 'Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.'" Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, now we simply ask that you would do what you always do, Lord, with the word of God, that you would instruct us and teach us. May we have good understanding, Lord, and may we be obedient to you in everything. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, so back to Ephesians then. We've been discussing in our study of Ephesians lately the necessity for the Christian to make a clean break with the works of darkness. Okay, there are certain things that a Christian should not watch, should not read, shouldn't enjoy conversing about, you know, shouldn't participate in. Do you remember us talking about the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, right? All these various forms of ungodliness that are out there that are not fitting for saints. Okay, things that God is going to judge. That's what the scripture says. God is going to judge them. And if God is going to judge them, then Christians have got to exercise judgment as well, don't they? Okay, it's quite obvious that in order for us to find out what's pleasing to the Lord, we have to evaluate. We have to discern. We have to be discriminating about things. You know, if you're told here not to be partakers in ungodly things, well, you have to be able to identify what those things are. You have to be able to recognize them when you see them. Okay? And you have to be able to say, no, that would be wrong. That's against God. And, you know, as sons of God, we don't condone that. We don't condone those things. Right? Christian conduct involves setting boundaries. And obviously, boundary setting involves making judgments of certain kinds. Okay, but as you've likely experienced in your Christian life, whenever you talk about judgment or judging, people tend to say, well, hold on a second, you know, even I know that Jesus said, don't judge so that you won't be judged. Okay, and who are you to judge? Okay, well, the answer is quite obviously that if you take into account more than just a single Bible verse, you would never arrive at the simplistic, naive position that to make judgment calls of any kind is forbidden. Okay, we judge right and wrong all the time, right? Even non-Christians judge right and wrong all the time by saying, you know, this is good, this is not good. What Jesus was warning against in Matthew 7:1, he was warning against that condemning, sort of superior attitude that loves to find fault, you know, loves to think of oneself as worthier than others. Okay, that kind of attitude, which it's not thoughtful, it doesn't give people the benefit of the doubt. It's stingy with mercy. It's short on patience. Slow of understanding. And in that text, of Matthew 7:1, a more accurate word would be like condemn. Don't condemn. Don't denounce. And these days, we've got a new word, cancel, right? Don't cancel. Okay, well, anyway, as for judging, a little more familiar with the mind of God and with the Word of God and His will for His children, will show you that as children of light, we must constantly be making judgments, right? The Bible says, test everything, right? To me, there's another thing that Jesus said which helps clarify what He meant, and this is John 7:24. He said, stop judging by mere appearances and judge with a right judgment, okay? So there you have it from the Lord's own mouth. Judge with a right judgment, okay? Judge not by mere appearances, but, you know, don't be hasty to assume things about people. Don't be hasty to throw people into broad categories, which is something now that's happening all the time, in America. You know, you're hearing all of this, all white people are like this, all black people are like this, all immigrants are like this, you know, and you just lump people by the millions into these broad categories without, you know, it's not fair to individuals, right? You're not distinguishing between between cases. You're not giving any credit where credit might be due. You're laying blame broadly rather than laying blame where blame belongs, okay? Just painting everybody with a big broad brush, right? That's not judging with a right judgment, okay? Well, that's just an example. I want to focus today on verse 11 and verse 13. So if you look in your Bible, we've gotten, up till now, we've gotten as far as 14, but I just wanted to go back and examine this something that starts in 11 in a little more detail. So 11 says this, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Okay, so you have a verse that if you were to maybe misunderstand it a little, it kind of sounds like it approves going on witch hunts and crusades against various kinds of sin in the world, you know, like drugs, like gambling, pornography, and alcohol, and rock music, and abortion, and divorce, and, you know, all these social ills. But what happens with campaigns like that is they tend, in overzealousness, to pull up the wheat with the tares, if you know what I mean. Okay, these kinds of campaigns are usually done with a sort of hot indignation, with flaming swords, you know, rather than the way Christ would deal with sinners, which was with meekness and with restraint. Okay, expose them sounds like, you know, what the Pharisees did with the woman who was caught in adultery. You know, just sort of haul her out into public and, you know, fling her on the ground there and demand that she gets what she deserves, right? Expose, you know, rip away the curtain, rip away the sheets, and just expose sin wherever you can find it. Okay, well, besides the fact that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the world through him might be saved, there's another danger in that sort of thing. Okay, these crusades against social sins have a way of transforming or developing into an alternate gospel, okay, like a substitute righteousness. So, for example, we'll take the campaign against racism, okay? That imparts to the ones who are campaigning a certain self-congratulation, a certain measure of pride because they're against some evil or they're in favor of some virtue. Okay, but that's not the gospel. You know, going around pointing fingers at people is not good news, right? Denouncing things is not the gospel. Okay, Christians are supposed to be preaching a message of mercy and grace from God, and healing, right? Not a measure, not a message of guilt and condemnation and disgust, okay? So expose them doesn't mean, you know, brutalize sinners, okay? What does Paul mean when he says to expose the unfruitful works of darkness? Okay, or if you have King James, it says reprove them. Okay, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Well, to me, it means that it means I'm my brother's keeper, right? If you take my meaning, okay, it means that we have a responsibility to the body, to other Christians, and I'd say to those on the outside too, to show them that immorality and carnality and greed and uncleanness go against the will of God, and they have to be avoided as part of a relationship with God. Okay, the word reprove means to convince. It means to provide evidence and reason, and shed the light of God on it so that it can be seen for the harmful and unclean thing that it is. Right, sin is detrimental, and people need to know that. Okay, sin does not belong to the realm of God, but to the realm of the evil one. And God sent his Son into the world to rescue us out of that realm of sin and transfer us into the realm of light. Isn't that so? Okay, so when sin is happening around us, right, when people around us say, blaspheme God, when the dirty locker room talk gets going, when people are backbiting and slandering somebody behind their back, or, when the boss is pressuring the workers to do something that's dishonest. Or when the world serves up all of this immorality until, the soap operas, the sitcoms, the horror movies, the gore, right, the celebrity sleaze. Like, Christians have got to speak up for what's right, okay? And Paul is not merely saying avoid those things, right, don't participate in them. There's this further command, a positive command, not to let these things get swept under the rug, right? He says then, reprove them, right? Don't just keep your mouth closed, reprove them. Bring them out into the light by turning God's word, the light of God's word, on them so that they can be seen for what they are, right? And people can be convinced this isn't in keeping with God's will for us. Okay, so this is what I mean by being my brother's keeper or my brother's shepherd. Okay, we have the other saints in our lives for this reason, right? To instruct each other in the good way and keep each other within the Lord's boundaries, right? The church is not supposed to be every man does whatever he thinks is right, right? God's given us this body. He's given us the saints so that we'll have this guidance, right? There's a mutual guidance, brother to brother. Okay, and the point here in verse 11 is that we have to exercise that guidance, right? We have a duty to do it and not withhold it. Okay, we're supposed to be speaking the word of God to each other. And the Bible says, what's the word of God good for? It's good for teaching, for reproving, for correcting, for instructing in righteousness, right? To make every man of God mature and fully fitted out for every good work. Okay, so for example, this is part of raising children, therefore. Okay, reproving. Parents should not just look the other way at whatever their children are up to. Just let them watch whatever is on the television without any question. Let them choose whatever friends happen to be around without any question. Spoil them by giving them everything they point at and saying, I want that. Okay, they should not let them get in the habit of speaking sarcastically. A parent should take the child aside and talk to them about the things that the way of life God wants them to lead. What's the story I hear about kids at your school making fun of each other? What do you think about that? What's your part in that? What would be a good way to please God in this situation? Where are you and your friends going out tonight? What movie are you going to be watching? Is this a decent movie? Okay. We don't think that such and such person is the right kind of friend for you. And why? All right. We don't think that certain kinds of media, certain kinds of games should be in our house. And why? Okay, and explain why all this business about gender confusion, is so popular now. Why is this so destructive and toxic, right? Explain God's will. Use the word of God. Explain why the Holy Spirit would say, this is the right way, this is a wrong way. Okay, this is obedience, this is disobedience. This will promote a good relationship with God and virtue among people, whereas this will defile a relationship with God, and it will harm your relationships with people. Okay, that's reproof. That's what I'm getting at. Okay, that's instruction. You read Proverbs, you see that Proverbs is all about reproof and instruction, right? Evil things and evil ideas are out there, and we have to shine the light of the Word of God on them. Okay, in my opinion, it's very foolish and stupid for parents to say, well, I don't want to be judgmental towards my kids. You know, I just want him to be happy. I want him to do whatever they want. You know, I want him to be free to make up his own mind. And so I'm not going to provide any direction. I'm not going to provide any reproof. I'm just going to let him do whatever he wants. Okay, I'm not going to try to shape my child. Okay, you're shirking your duty towards the child that God gave to you to raise him up in the ways of God. Okay, and by ways of God, I don't just mean teach him that Jesus died for his sins, which of course you do that, but I mean instilling a biblical wisdom and character in the child. You know, teach him how to evaluate life situations so that he'll walk in a way that pleases God, right? Which means exercising judgment, okay? Judge with a right judgment. You have to alert your children to the schemes of the devil, right? He loves to come, you know, as an angel of light, promoting things that, you know, may look good on the surface, but you find out later that they degrade the image of God, they sabotage a child's faith, they pollute his heart, okay? They divide brother against brother, okay? These are the things that the devil does, and the Bible says, awaken to righteousness and don't sin, okay? Whereas foolish people say, well, I don't want to be judgmental, right? They're not awake to righteousness, right? They're not alert to the schemes of the devil, and so they fall prey to some of his attacks, which are very subtle and require a discerning, discriminating eye in order to detect them. Okay, so Paul says here, see to it that you walk not as fools, but as wise. Right? The days are evil, don't you agree? The days are evil. Okay, so don't be unwise, but understand what the Lord's will is, right? Wisdom is all about being able to exercise good judgment, okay? Now, I talk about parents and children, but obviously it's not limited to parents and children. The whole church, right? Every saint has this responsibility to the other members of the body because we're all linked together, okay? We're partners, we're co-sharers in Christ, right? We're members of each other. And so sin in one member of the body, or an acceptance of sin, is going to have an effect. It's going to spread to others. Okay, and this is why Paul says, so reprove the fruitless deeds of darkness, right? Shine the light of the Word of God on the doings of darkness and show each other the right way. Okay, so to reprove isn't to harm a person. To reprove is to defend that person against the devil. Right, to reprove your children is a way of protecting them. Okay, we're on the same side. The enemy, he's on the other side. And wherever you see sin, you know that the enemy is trying to harm the body. Okay, and sin in one part of the body affects more than just the one part. Okay, so this is why this commandment is important. We are our brother's keepers, right? We are one another's shepherds. Okay, so expose the works of darkness and reprove them. Right, so this is why God has placed us in a body, in a local church, to be that provider of guidance and accountability for each other. Okay, understand it's a mutual relation, it's a one another sort of relationship. It's not a hierarchy where you have two or three people at the top, you know, telling everybody else what's good for them. It's you and me, right? It's a one another relationship. Each of us who is born from above has the Holy Spirit of God and can apply the word, right? Each of us can warn or admonish each other about the works of darkness. Okay, you not only can, this verse says that you have a duty to do it, right? To expose the deeds of darkness and reprove them. All right, so let me give you four scripture references to give some shape to that. And you can just write down the references. The first one is Luke 17, 3 and 4, and this is the Lord. Luke 17, 3 and 4, he said, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Okay, and if he sins seven times in a day and returns seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. Okay, well, the second part of that, you know, we've heard that message a lot, right? We're forgive. Okay, I think we're pretty clear on that. But what about the first part? You know, sometimes I think we're so non-confrontational that if our brother sins, we don't say anything. Okay, but the Lord said, if your brother sins, reprove him, right? To say nothing at all would be wrong. This is from the Old Testament law, Leviticus 19:17. And the Lord told the Israelites, you shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. Okay, another version says, you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. So plain talk about sin and plain talk about the way of godliness, like he says here, find out what pleases the Lord. And that's the nature of light, isn't it? Right? Light shines, right? Whatever's lurking in the darkness, you know, can't be hidden anymore. It's exposed, right? And so Paul says, walk as children of light. Light shines. Okay, so you don't hide a light and then put a box over it, do you? You let the light shine. Okay, so revealing is what light does, right? And that's the things that are hidden in the darkness are exposed. So do that. Okay, you're supposed to be shining as a light in the world. Now the third one, 2 Thessalonians 3:15, which in context is about the sort of layabout brother who doesn't want to do any work. Okay, but it obviously applies to other forms of disobedience. Paul says this, do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Okay, so that has to do with how do you reprove, right? I'm not angry at you, right? But I'm going to reprove you as a brother. This is serious. It's a matter of sin, right? Church members sometimes have to take firm measures to confront sin, but not with bitterness, right? Not with wrath. It's always our aim to return a person to the path of the Holy Spirit, okay? But admonition, nevertheless, remains a Christian duty. And then the fourth one is Romans 15:14. And Paul, writing to the Roman Christians, says, I am confident about you, my brothers, that you are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Okay, you're competent to counsel one another, right? Because you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit from God. And in fact, the scripture says the spiritual man judges all things, right? It's quite different from don't judge at all, right? The spiritual man judges all things, right? So a man who has the Holy Spirit, he's got the mind of God, the wisdom of God. He is able to judge with a right judgment. That's how the Lord wants us to judge, okay? He sees clearly what's in the light. And as we say, have in the other verse, light makes manifest, right? Light reveals things for what they are. Okay, so remember the case of Eli in the Old Testament, right? The priest Eli. God says to, Paul says to the Romans, right? I'm confident that you're able to admonish one another. Well, you're able to. Are you actually going to do it? Okay, God was angry with Eli in the Old Testament. He says, you knew your sons were behaving wickedly and you didn't restrain them. And, you know, just imagine if Eli said back to God, well, I didn't want to be judgmental. You know, they're my boys. You know, I wanted them to be happy and I wanted them to have everything they wanted. Okay, well, you didn't turn them aside from ungodliness because you didn't want to be confrontational. Okay, God told Eli, you honor your sons more than me. Okay, the honor of God is at stake. The Christian message is at stake. The Savior's honor is at stake, right? You're children of light. You're supposed to do what light does, which is to shine, right? And light can't have any fellowship with darkness, okay? So you shall surely reprove your neighbor or your brother and not bear sin because of him. Okay, so let's look at the text one more time, Ephesians 5:11. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Okay, things that are shameful, Christians should have no parts with. Christians shouldn't be talking about what's their favorite bloody movie, you know, who's shacking up with who, guess who I heard is gay today, and all these sorts of things, as if that's, you know, decent topics of conversation. Okay, but 13 says all things that are exposed, and then put by the light here, all things that are exposed by the light are made manifest. Okay, for whatever makes manifest is light. God himself is light, right? God's light reveals sin. Christ came a light into the world, right? Christ is the light of the world, and Christ has shed his light on us, and now we're lights, right? That's what Philippians says, right? You're to be shining as lights in the world. Okay, he says it in the Sermon on the Mount also, right? You're the light of the world. Okay, so 14 says, awake, you who sleep, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So be a source of light, right? Shine into the darkness and show people the difference between holy and unholy, clean and unclean, right? Expose the devil's tricks and his lies, right? You make manifest the works of darkness for what they are, okay? Because you're protecting the children of God by shining the light, right? You're protecting them from his tricks and deceit by warning and admonishing those who are going astray, okay? And as far as those on the outside, reproof is a way to warn people that their way of life is going to destroy them, right? Sin is detrimental to the sinner, okay? And the sinner ought to be warned. You know, the drunkard and the addict, you know, he needs to be warned. People who watch all of this sensuality and violence, and people who are into, like, dark spirits and, you know, blood and gore and the occult and things like fortune-telling and all of that, you need to be warned, right? People who are greedy for money and crooked and corrupt, you need to be warned. That's your role as a to speak prophetically into the world, like I've said in other times. Okay, call a sin and don't participate in the sins of others. Like Jehovah's Witness at your door, he's got to be warned. You're going against God. You're sowing seeds of a false gospel, right? It's going to lead to other people's destruction and your own. Okay, to do that isn't being judgmental the way that people use the word. That's just doing what light does, right? To shine on things and make them manifest, right? Reveal them for what they are. And the kind of person who says, well, don't you judge me, is a person who shies away from the light, hates the light. Okay, a person who is trying to justify his own way, right? He's trying to hide behind a Bible verse, I think, because he's uncomfortable with his deeds being exposed, which Jesus said something about that kind of person, right? Everyone who practices evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. Same word as here. Lest his deeds be reproved. Okay, but he who does the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be, another word from here, manifest, right? His deeds may be clearly seen that they've been done in God. Okay, light makes manifest. Light reveals things. Okay, and people who don't want their deeds made manifest, okay, that's why they say, well, you should never judge. Okay. Paul says, don't be unwise, saints. Life doesn't work this way. He says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Okay, circumspectly is, that's how you drive a car. Okay, you're alert to your surroundings. I'm aware of the other cars. I'm aware of the potholes in the road. I know where the yellow line is. I'm looking at the stop signs. I'm looking at the speed limit signs. I'm on my toes for some strange situation like maybe a tractor going down the side of the road. I know there's different, okay? Circumspectly means looking around, being on guard. Okay, that's how you're continually, when you're behind the wheel, you're continually making judgments. You don't just plow right ahead without making any kind of judgments. Okay, and the person who refuses to exercise judgment and to draw lines between what's of the devil and what's of the Lord, what's of the darkness, what's of the light, he can't please God. Right? You're never going to be able to find out what's acceptable to the Lord. Okay, test everything, the Bible says. Test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because there's many false teachers abroad in the world. That's just wisdom. Okay, don't be fools. Walk as wise, not unwise. All right, well, to make an application, I guess, then, have you felt that there's some issue that you feel compelled to address with somebody, but maybe you thought, well, it's not my place. You know, maybe I should just say nothing. Maybe I should just keep quiet. Maybe if I, you know, I don't want to come across as judgmental. All right, I would say this. What about your identity as a child of light? Hey, what about the Lord's command to admonish your neighbor and not bear sin because of him? All right, you see that you do have a responsibility to turn an errant brother away from the error of his ways. Okay? Otherwise, you've been outsmarted by the devil. Okay, the devil is the one who says, well, don't say anything, you know, just let him go that way. Okay, the devil is very good at twisting the meanings of scriptures, and he's done a great job with Matthew 7:1. Okay, well, listen to what Paul says to Timothy, and with this I'll close. This is the end of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says to him, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with total patience and good teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their passions and will turn aside from listening to truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded and long-suffering, doing the work of an evangelist. He says, fulfill your ministry. Okay, what's your ministry? It's to walk as children of light and to shine into the darkness. Right? The spiritual man judges all things. And as part of the church of Jesus Christ, it's your ministry is to provide that mutual guidance and admonition and good teaching that keeps your brothers on the straight path. Right? And also, you know, issue that call to the unsaved to come away from sin and get on the road to heaven. Right? Take refuge in the cross of Jesus Christ while there is time. Okay, that's what redeem the time means. Time is very short. You've got to make the best use of it you can. Okay, don't let chances pass you by. Don't let the devil say, oh, maybe you shouldn't just say anything. Okay, don't sweep sin under the rug. Reprove it. Help your brothers, help your neighbors to walk in the light. Okay, speak a word, save a soul, because the days are evil, aren't they? Okay, and time is running out. If your brother sins, reprove him, rebuke and exhort, and the Holy Spirit will help you rescue the perishing, right? Encourage the weak and warn the unruly. That's what the Bible says. We're children of light, okay? I've got this little light. I'm going to let it shine. So we've got to let our light shine. All right, let's pray. We'll ask the Lord to give us wisdom and help us to serve him in this way and to serve the church. Our Father, Lord, you always tell us what's best. You've saved us, Lord, not just so that we ourselves can be saved, but so that others can be saved through our assistance. Thank you, Lord, for giving us truth. Thank you for the word today, Lord, and we pray for each other that you would give us the confidence, that you would give us wisdom, the right words to say at the right time. We pray, Lord, for those around us that are going astray, those around us who are who need a word of warning, a word of admonition, a word of holiness. We ask you, Lord, to set those people on our hearts and help us, Lord, to phrase the good news in just the right way. Help us, Lord, to present the Lord Jesus Christ so that they might see that he is much better than any kind of sin we could desire. Use us, Lord God, to spread the light of your glory, your grace, your forgiveness to the sinners around us. And strengthen us, Lord, as a church. May we always be honest in what we say and helpful to each other and well able to use the word of God. Thank you, Father, for the word today. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.